Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy.
And good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, Bobcat fans. I am your R&R basketball host, Zach Levere, and this is Brickball. They had a nice little break for a couple weeks, but we're back to kind of go over a couple games that have happened for the Bobcats lately. And tonight, I am joined by Ryan Foley once again. It's a solo Ryan show. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good. I think my son almost crashed through the ceiling. I'm sorry if you heard that right there. That was startling.
Well, it's a couple days early for Santa, so
yeah.
All right, man. We haven't talked in a couple weeks. A lot has happened in Bobcat world at the end of the football season, and then the end of the volleyball season too. Who saw the volleyball team going longer than the football team?
Yeah, right.
But great year for them. Really showed some heart. That was super cool to see. I had never watched a lot of college volleyball, never really had a reason to, but man, they gave us one heck of a year. So proud of them, happy to see what they'll do in the future. But it is the holiday season. We are recording on the 21st, and I served up a question to you and Thorny earlier today in our group chat to start us off. What is your favorite Christmas movie or holiday movie for that matter?
I'm going to go with Home Alone.
That's a good
one.
Has
to be. Yeah, for me. I know my dad loved Miracle on 34th Street, which is a classic, but I'm going Home Alone.
Yep. I'm a Christmas Vacation. I think that movie's hilarious. Clark Griswold is one of my favorite movie characters of all time, just in all his roles. It's just a timeless character, and I think the movie still stands up with some of the humor, especially as somebody who saw it and was not born and when it came out.
Absolutely. Oh. Just watched it the other night with my wife, but there's so many good ones out there.
Yep. Thorny's
I think the one that...
Oop, go ahead.
I think the one that you really like sings to you as a kid is the one that you always stay with. And for me, it was Home Alone.
That's such a good one. Thorny's were, I asked him today because I wanted to get those, Christmas Story, which is another timeless classic and a good one. It took me till I got older to actually see the meaning of that movie, that like it's all a drama through the kid's eyes. I didn't get that until later in life. And then he said 8-Bit Christmas as well. One last shout out again, as a 2000s kid, Elf always holds a soft spot in my, being a 6-year-old watching that movie for the first time was always hilarious. But good to think about Christmas movies. It's always good to hear Christmas music, and it's nice. It's always fun to think about those things. But we'll jump into basketball, as it is basketball season as well, which we are almost done. This is the final game tomorrow for the Cats for out of conference. Out of conference is already over. We are heading into conference play on the 28th. So we've made it. It's been a roller coaster, to say the least, of the Logie era in conference. And we're here to talk about it.
Can't believe it's almost conference time. There's definitely been some highs and lows in the out-of-conference schedule. I'm sure you're going to enlighten us on all that, Zach.
Yep. So to start us off, I wanted to go over a couple things from our big win over Southern Utah. I was in the brick for that game. 89-88 overtime, a 3 to win it by Brian Garecki, who has come a long ways. And great drawn-up 3-point play to win it. Cats had a chance at the end of regulation to win it. They had about a 5 to 6 point lead throughout the second half of the first half, and then most of the second half, and then they lost it. And about 5 minutes to go, I didn't say it out loud. I didn't want to text you guys, but I thought, God, it'd be a shame to lose this game. It would be such a shame if they come back. But it's become a trend where the Bobcats like to play tight games, and against teams, if you throw away the games against some of the smaller schools, and then you throw away some of the games against some of the bigger teams we've played, the mid-major teams that are kind of within our wheelhouse, we have all played pretty tight for the most part. So it could be a season of a lot of very close Big Sky games, is what I've noticed.
I wasn't able to watch this game. I was at running club, and I got back to the brewery we run out of, and the text message thread was, hey, we're going to overtime. And then I checked the score, and we were down quickly in overtime by a bucket, by two buckets. And I just kind of stopped. I was like, well, that feels like it's going to be too much to overcome. And especially then at the very end, I checked in and we were down. I don't know, but it took two misses on the end from Southern Utah and a three by Gracky. And I just saw, I didn't see the play, but you know, yours and Thorny's responses over the text thread was like, what just happened? Oh no. Oh my gosh, we won. Are you kidding me? And then I got flashes of last year. We beat Southern Utah at Southern Utah. Raekwon Battle had an amazing play to end the game as well. He was a hero in that game. So him and Garaki, I bet you Southern Utah is just like, oh my gosh, I don't want to play the Cats anymore.
They're done signing us for non-conference games for a little while. I think that for sure. That was a game that, you know, the Cats were in. It was against I think their record, I have it right here. They're 3-8 after the loss to us. But looking at their schedule, they have played, they played Idaho State. They played Northern Arizona. I think Northern Arizona got them by a couple points, but they beat Idaho State. They've played a couple other teams that we either have similar opponents are or similar to potentially us. So it's a 3-8, but it's more of an impressive 3-8 rather than a and they look lengthy, and they had some guys. So good win, good push win towards conference play. I'm hoping this kind of lights the spark. That's what I'm hoping, is a play like this, a game like this, lights the spark that we go into conference play. And I saw a lot out of this Southern Utah game. A lot more pressure, a lot less three-pointers. We had changed up our offense a little bit to drive to the hoop to draw fouls, I thought. Those were kind of things that I noticed just off the bat of scheme changes going into this game. We played some different guys. Naduka, he had a 16-point game, played 26 minutes. Giron had 24 minutes. Two guys who haven't seen a lot of time who made definite impacts. So Logie for this one to spice things up. I also noticed Sam Lekla only got just 12 minutes, and he had been playing close to 30 minutes a game averaging. So his playing time went down quite a bit in this one. So the other thing I've noticed is we win games when we out-rebound teams. This one was close. We out-rebounded them 42-41. So that's kind of, I've always been a rebound guy because I always grew up taller. And so I rebounded a lot in like youth basketball and stuff. And that was always more important than points sometimes. But teams that out-rebound other teams generally tend to win ball games. So when we get out-rebounded, just like we did against Rocky, we tend to lose those games. And then the other kind of focus point I wanted to bring to this one was our crashing. We're not a tall team, but we have five guys crash into the ball. And it burned us a couple times. We accepted that we might not get back on defense, or they might fast break us a little more, but we looked really good when it came to crashing the boards with all our guys. So though we might not have the height or the size in, you know, figure, we have the guys crashing the boards. And that was really awesome to see that team crashing of boards. Also, it was frustrating because there was guys grabbing rebounds and ripping it away from other guys. I was like, oh no, you got it. You got it. So that was, kind of my breakdown of that game was we were there, we let them back in at the end, but we won the rebound battle, and we did win the three-point battle as well. We shot 9 from 21 from 3, which is by far the best we've shot all year. When it comes, we did shoot 20 of 41 in one of the games against one of the Native American colleges, but against real competition and real defenders on a more peer basis, 9 from 21 from 3 was really good.
Yeah. Well, talk to me a little bit more about rebounding the ball, because that seems like a departure from what I was seeing early on. Go back to early games and even the loss against Rocky, it felt like we were just shooting the ball and then hoping, one of our players would grab the rebound. It sounds like we are having more collective effort. Is that something that you see is different?
Yep. So I went back and looked. The loss to UW, we were out-rebounded 44-26. And then our win against SAGU, we rebounded 38-21. it's just, you know, I just think we're crashing the boards better. Maybe it's a scheme thing of we're just going, but it just felt like we were much more aware of rebounding and stuff. They did have their center. He wasn't a big guy for Southern Utah. Not massive. We're going to see way bigger in the future, but he killed us several times on the, you know, offensive rebounds, you know, 2, 1, 2, 3 missed shots and they still got it back. And then they put it back on the fourth time. Those are just killers. But the guys were in there. Another thing I thought was really, not really interesting, but impressive is we are killer when it comes to jump balls. Man, we jump in there and I love that intensity. I love a good jump ball intensity when, you know, you see the thumbs go up, everybody's pointing in their directions. You know, that was awesome. I think we're really intense. That's led by Robert Ford too. He's already an intense guy, but the team has rallied with that. And it's really awesome to see that. So I was just really impressed. More of a hustle thing. I think our hustle was fantastic. I would like to see more of that. If we do get out rebounded, if you show me you're at least trying or attempting and putting in the work for those things, I mean, I can accept the hustle points on that. I mean, that's not a stat, but hustle points do matter.
So early on, what do you think are some of the hallmarks of Logie's team?
Logie's teams are teams that are going to spread the ball around quite a bit. They're going to be aggressive on defense. My negative is lots of turnovers. We're not ball disciplined. There were several times out of bounds where we threw balls directly to defenders. Our passes weren't crisp. So that, you asked me how we're going to be under Logie and I go into the negative. But those were things I'd like to kind of leading. I just went off a lot of positive things that we did. The things I'd like to clean up as well is turnovers have not been great. And that is something going into conference play I'd like to see us. Ball handling has been okay. Trust in guys. I think Logie's going to trust guys. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a lot more creativity. I think Sprinkle's teams were a lot more rigid. You kind of knew it's like the football team. Oh, you know, we're going to run the ball. Sprinkle's teams were a lot more rigid in that drive the lane, try to get the foul and shoot as many free throws as you can and be a very disciplined free throw team. I think we've come to be a very good spread out team. I really think our offense is a ton of fun. We get it in the hands of a lot of guys. Finishing needs to be a little better around the rim. how many game winning or game tying layups have we missed already? But it's non-conference. So, you know, we're sharpen the knives, sharpen the tools, just kind of, you know, get ready for conference play and stuff. So I think it's going to be fun. I mean, after the Rocky game, I was a little dejected. And then we went into that UW game where you knew you were probably going to, Eastern's giving them tonight a pretty good game. I think it was 44-44 when I left to do this. But the Pac-12 basketball is also terrible. That's a different conversation. But Pac-12 basketball is not good this year. They're going to have a rough year over there. And that's a whole nother topic of conversation. But I'm more optimistic. I think I would have been more sad. I was like, man, I don't want to do another sad episode of basketball or try to, you know, talk. But great win last night. Great hustle. They put out a fantastic effort. We've scored points. The long answer for your Logie question, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And after last night, I was kind of thinking and breaking down the game today and the future. I'd like to see us have a good one tomorrow. But I think we're a scrappy little team who could make a little noise in the, you know, in the conference. And that's all that I think that's all we could hope for this year is to make some noise in the conference and be a scrappy team that wins some games.
And plays a fun brand of basketball. Cause I was looking around the court, the brick breeding. It's not full and it's definitely down from last year. And I get that. I mean, we don't have the star power that we had. But if Coach Logie can put a product out there that makes fans want to come back, like Garacki hitting a three at the very end, that's going to make fans want to come back. People will talk about that, right?
Yeah, making a SportsCenter top 10 moment, that's going to bring some excitement. I know the student section's trying to do something with the new Cats Den this year, and I get it. You know, it was finals. The football team was, you know, in doing their thing. But now when we transfer into that, I think it's time. And hopefully we get some better crowds. And a win like that, a win against Cal State Northridge and continuing to, you know, improve, you could absolutely bring people back real quick.
Oh, absolutely. And when conference play starts, you're going to start seeing bigger crowds that are teams fans know about. And so I'm happy for that. I just hope Coach Logie can continue to craft this. And so the team continually gets better. It's going to be an up and down type of season. But if we can start to see guys take roles like Tyler Patterson, you know, he's starting to break out of his sprinkled mold and get into his Coach Logie mold, and it feels like he's doing better. I like to see a guy progress like that. Robert Ford taking all the leadership on the floor. He's assumed that floor general, watching him grow throughout the season. So these characters that we'll watch, some of our new players down low, Garacki, what is he going to give us? All these guys, you know, who have yet to really make their identity, will eventually throughout this season. And I'm just excited for that. And I just hope Montana State goes out and supports them.
Yep. And yeah, adjustment period too. New coach, you know, new way, you know, the guys who stayed, they're getting used to a new scheme, new coach. How, you know, you can practice all you want, but when you get game action, that's when it's really, really different. So the guys who did stay from the Sprinkle era, I think they're finally beginning to realize kind of what they're in for. We had the transfer guys come in as well as we had Garacki, who came with Logie from Point Loma. And I had a conversation with somebody about, you know, because he struggled early on in some of the games. He really had a great game against Southern Utah, but he struggled quite a bit. And it was, you know, there's a big difference between any sort of Division I and the top tier of Division II. And Garacki was, I can't remember if he was an All-American at the Division II or All-Conference, but he was well-respected and well-regarded. And so there is a adjustment of what that competition and what that's going to lead. So that was a big thing. Do you want to get in the Tyler Patterson conversation already? I have the notes. Thorny wanted to hop on with this. Unfortunately, he couldn't, but I asked him what questions he had, and he brought this up. And I think it's a great question of that which you alluded to with, was Tyler Patterson in a mold with Danny Sprinkle? And is he, you know, breaking out of that mold under Coach Logie? And before I get into it, one of my most frustrating things, I think Tyler Patterson's a great player. He's got great size, great athleticism. But how many guys can go with a forward motion off their feet and make a three-pointer? Like, Steph Curry can't do that very often. There's very few guys in the world with forward momentum who can make those three-pointers. And sometimes he just hucks those up and it's like, oh man, come on, just set your feet. Like, oh. it's like my pet peeve of like this year. It's just like, oh, come on, man, set. Yeah, you know, you're wide open, just set, where he has that forward motion where he's going. But I digress on that. I ran the numbers today. A couple statistics I went into. Patterson's numbers last year, because this is his fourth year at MSU. I didn't know that. Yeah. He played 23.7 minutes, averaged over 35 games last year. He's got 35.5 minutes a game in 10 games under Coach Logie. So that's quite a bit more leash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's rebounding 3.3 more rebounds to his average one rebound a game last year, which, again, with Jabril Bello and Great Osbor under the rim, you know, you had bigger guys, you know, snatching more rebounds last year, but he's crashing the boards. Like I said, everybody's getting more rebounds. Everybody's crashing the boards. So he's bought into that, and it's showing in the statistics. He's 10.9 points a game. He had been 5, 7, and 3.5 his previous 3 years. So, you know, double points a game, which is awesome. As well as he's shooting 40% from 3-point this season.
That's a huge...
That's really good, actually. That's a fantastic 3-point percentage. So when you're shooting, you know, for 40%, I mean, those are baseball numbers. That's fantastic. You're a Hall of Famer in the baseball for shooting that. His previous 3 years, he was 34.5, 37.6, and 34.7. So, I mean, 10 game sample size, but he's getting a lot more leash, and he's excelling in that for sure.
That's awesome to see. He had a very defined role under Sprinkle. It's good to see him play more free in Coach Logie's system. I think that just benefits him.
Yep. And to add on to that Southern Utah game, that was the only surprise I had, is Garacki made the shot and he gets all the credit for the win. And that was a heck of a shot to hit at the end. But Patterson's the three guy. That was my thought, was, you know, and then, you know, you're only down two. I was like, are you going for the win now? Or are you going for the tie?
Yeah.
And when I saw, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. I forgot who his name is. Who's our big guy? Old Zimdam.
Oh, skinny guy?
Yeah.
Of course.
Give me like...
That guy.
Olmstead. That I'm so sorry. Okay, Olmstead. Olmstead checked in, and I thought it might be a tip play to him or something. He had 2.5 seconds, so not a lot of time. Maybe a turn and shoot was my thought.
Yeah.
And then when, you know, the ball goes to him, I'm like, there he is. But then he kicks it out. Garacki had to dodge the guy and then went up with it. I was a little surprised that didn't go to Patterson. But if it was a decoy play and they, you know, Gracke had 23 points, he had the hot hand. So ride the hot hand, which they did, which was, again, if that was, it was a well drawn up play, and all the props to Logie for drawing that up, because they, you know, Southern Utah was not expecting that.
I felt happy for Gracke too, because I'm pretty sure he missed a game winning layup. Am I missing that?
No, you did. You got that correct. I believe he missed either a game time. I think it was the game tying layup when we went to overtime against Green Bay, I want to say, earlier the year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was an awesome one. It's a confidence booster. Hopefully, it's a team. You know, that's a big win. That's the biggest win of the Logie era besides the Cal win, but and his biggest home win at least. And so to have that, to, you know, have that going into conference, I'm fired up for it. We'll get into, let's see what else I want to get into. Let's get into tomorrow's matchup. Tomorrow we are at Cal State Northridge, former Big Sky opponent, Cal State Northridge, and former, I think it's where Danny Sprinkle came from.
I was going to say, yeah, that's Sprinkle Land.
Sprinkle Land.
Yeah, that's where he has his roots. Yep.
So Cal State Northridge is 8-3, and they have a win over UCLA at UCLA. So, however, they do have a loss. Now they have a loss to Northern Colorado. So that is the other side of the house. They have a loss to 4-4 Northern Colorado, who was one of the worst teams in the Big Sky last year. So just like us, they have a loss to the Battling Bears, as you like to say.
The Battling Bears.
Battling Bears. Kind of, you know, 8-3. They've had, you know, ups and downs. They played a lot of close games with mid-majors as well. They have definitely a star in Deshaun Allen Eikens. He's 6'6 forward. He is from North Dakota. This is his third school. He spent 2 years at the University of North Dakota. And then he was at the University of New Orleans, and then transfer portal man. He's spent the last 2 years, but he's averaging about 20 points a game. So he's going to be the one to look out for tomorrow. And let's see if we can contain him. I'm curious who we're going to put on defense. I don't know if Robert Ford's going to be, you know, he's not big enough to guard him. So that's kind of the thing to look out for when it comes to tomorrow night's matchup, is who's going to guard him and what's our defense going to look like, because he's by far their star.
How tall is he?
He's only 6'6".
Okay.
Yeah. So 6'6 forward, fifth year senior. He's played a lot of college basketball, played a lot of games. So that's kind of what to look out for. I'm just hoping to see us kind of move. We had the big break because we had finals here at MSU, but we had this break, and let's see how the team does coming off this big win, and hopefully it drives into something. Because if we go, you know, you start piling two wins a year, your next game is against Idaho State after Christmas, and I have right here Idaho State is 4-7 with a loss to Southern Utah by about 10 points just a couple weeks ago to compare opponents early, but that's kind of my first thought on that, is how are we going to how we're going to look when it comes to tomorrow's night's game.
I maintain the thought that if the Bobcats just can be scrappy and put together a couple wins here and there, maybe a surprise win, it's going to be a good season for them. Yeah. I think you're right, Zach. Man, two wins in a row at home, and then Christmas, and then going into conference, that's going to be huge.
Yep. So I love that word, honestly. I just want to be scrappy this year. Like, that's kind of my thought. You're gonna lose some. Yeah. And again, I maintain the opinion that I think Logie is trying to figure out what he has. He played a lot more guys, and it kind of perked up the thoughts in the second half when I saw guys, you know, I think Naduka had 16 points. He really came to life. He was dominant for a good part of that early second half. And then Garen came in, and he was making some noise. He's a very skinny guy, very athletic, great with kind of his defense with stealing the ball and stuff and just being aggressive. He was really good too, especially at the end of the game, just being quick. So Logie's beginning to trust more guys, get more guys in there. And that's kind of what I want to see, is that scrappiness of this team, and see who's going to kind of compete on that level.
Well, that's a good sign of a good coach too, a guy who can kind of feel things out and not try to force everything. A good teacher does that as well. Like they provide a good structure within the classroom, and that's what it feels like Logie's doing. He's going, okay, hey guys, this is the structure, but you're going to have a little bit of freedom within the structure, and that's going to allow you to flourish. Whereas if you had maybe more of a heavy-handed coach and you're trying to force a system or something like that, that takes more time and it feels like you just need the right players. To me, from what you're saying, I kind of like what Logie's doing where he's going, okay, who do I have? And then how can I craft this? I think that's a better approach to this season so far. And, you know, hopefully it pays dividends, but it's a good way of going about it.
Yep. And we now have close to 10 guys averaging double digit minutes. So yeah,
that's awesome.
That's awesome to see. That's so cool to see, you know, more guys get, and it's more work for me to figure out who these guys are and what they're capable of. But now I think we have 6 guys averaging over 10 points or 10 points too, mm-hmm. a game. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there's no Raekwon Battle. There's no, you know, Jabril Bello, you know,
no.
as sad as that is to say, there's going to be a lot more, spreading of the love as you would have it when it comes to this team. Robert Ford's clearly the leader. He's one heck of a leader too, man. I mean, mm-hmm. you couldn't ask for a better guy to lead a team.
Yeah, well, he came fantastic. Back in the summer.
He's an absolute
huge win,
and he's an absolute class act too as a person. Like just things I hear about him, he's just awesome. So I can't rave about who he is enough. I mean, he's just an aggressive, awesome basketball player. He's also from Portland, and I'm from Portland, so that's another thing on top of that.
Right on.
But so anyway, I do have kind of. I don't know how I want to phrase this, but I kind of have a big sky breakdown. We'll kind of just go off of this, but we've kind of touched on it a little bit. I joked before we got on that I don't know where all these, you know, Native American Indian schools with like 4 or 5 letters in their names came from, but when I was going over all the teams in the big sky, we all played them. And it was like, oh, I've never heard of some of these schools. Why is the big sky deciding to play all these schools early on in non-conference? But it's just, you know, preseason games, I guess, and getting early reps. But just kind of start off the bat, I'll just do a quick rundown of the big sky. If you want to jump in and just say anything, I'm going to be quick on it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each of the teams. But Portland State's 9-3. They're leading the conference. Again, nobody's played a conference game yet. Their most impressive wins are they beat Air Force at Air Force, Portland, and Fresno State. They have 3 players averaging well over 10 points a game. They kind of have 3 stars. They're a team to look out for in the big sky this year. I'd say they're probably, they're not the clubhouse leader because I think Weber is, but I think they're going to be up there and they're going to be a top 4 team in the big sky going into the season. And they're a team to look out for. They also have a really beautiful new basketball arena that they've had for the past couple of years. Man, growing up in Portland, I hated their, like, hate's a strong word. Hated that we used to go to the Portland State, the Montez State at Portland State games, and it was a dump. It was just the worst gym ever. So to see them have a super nice facility is actually kind of cool. Like, you know, I know they don't get the biggest fan support in the big sky, but their facility is cool. And if, you know, people over there want to support it, it's a good place to watch a game. So
nice.
We'll go into that. Montana 7-4. They've kind of handed it to San Jose State a couple times, but again, a lot of we'll see. They've just won the games that we should have won earlier in the year. I mean, if that makes sense, they've just won those close games. So they're 7-4 going into things, but we'll see what they, you know, it's a big year for them too. They kind of were disappointing a little bit last year to say, you know, their tournament run was cut short a little bit. They had expectations to be right there at the top and things just didn't pan out that way. So I would say there's some expectations there and this is a big year for them. Weber is the favorite to win the conference. We play them on the 30th coming up. We have 2 road games to start conference play. So we will have an early at Weber, and that's a game I am very much looking forward to because that's, you know, not to say it's the toughest test going forward in the season, but that's going to be a pretty tall test and a pretty tall task to see. This is Logie going into a quote unquote hostile conference environment or, you know, a team that's perennial the last 20 years been very good in the big sky.
Oh. They have Dylan Jones. It always seems to me that Weber's guys just look like NBA guys. Their shoulders, their length, their girth. Man, they just look different than other teams.
Yep. And they've got talent. I haven't seen a ton of them this year, but I dug into some of their numbers and they're going to be a team to look out for. So again, I'd be surprised if we win that game, but I'm curious to see what we come out. Cause again,
it'd be a statement game.
It would be exactly. That's a great way to put it. It would be a statement game on that thing. All right, moving on. A lot of just middle of the road. I'll just be quick on this. Idaho 6-6, NAU 6-6, MSU 5-5, and UNC 5-6. That's just kind of your middle of the pack right now. That's your generic. A lot of those teams have played kind of the same equivalent of schedule that we have. A lot of wait and see, a lot of let's see what happens in conference. I think when we do our January, mid-January episodes, we'll have a way better determination of where things stand. And I won't really do a Big Sky update. I don't think I'm going to do too much of a Big Sky update on that until we get to that point. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. That's good. Your middle of the pack. And then I'll just spend 20 seconds on the bottom of the pack. Eastern's 4-6 after that amazing season last year where they didn't lose a conference game until they lost the last two conference games. And then they lost in the tournament at the in the first game of the year or the first game of the tournament. I love seeing that, by the way. Eastern is 4-6. They're on a little bit of a rebound. They lost their best player to Gonzaga too. So
yeah, Steele Winters, who then has a season-ending injury over there, so he can't play for the Zags. But I was just looking at Eastern's schedule. They played a tough schedule. They had at Utah, at Ole Miss, at Cincinnati, at Stanford. They played Washington State, which they always play the Battle of the Palouse out here, essentially. And then at Southern California. So, and then they beat Air Force, Portland Bible. They beat Portland Bible 103-34. Oh my gosh.
That's the same Portland Bible that just got destroyed by Portland State last year. And again, I grew up in Portland. I went to high school in Portland. I had never heard of Portland Bible.
They're playing Washington right now, but they're a little bit behind
Washington. I'll derail us at this point. Did you see that North Dakota State played a Oak Hills Academy school and beat them like 104-14?
No. In basketball?
Yes. Oh my goodness. There is one player who has like, he looks like he's 35, maybe 40 out there for this this small school. And he shoots like line drive 3-pointers that are air balls every shot, probably shot like 20 of them. And it's the funniest thing. It's out there on the internet. If you look at the score, the score went kind of viral, and then somebody dug up the highlights or lowlights, as you would. And it was a good chuckle. It was pretty funny. I got a good laugh out of it, but you never want to see that in a game. And sometimes these are just prep games, but geez, man, throw in the towel. That was good. Like,
you just got to survive somehow. That's not surviving though.
can you just give us our check for playing and can we leave? That's good. All right. So then we're back. Idaho State is 4-7. I already mentioned them earlier. We play them on the 28th as our first opening conference game. That one, they lost to Southern Utah. That is a game I'm expecting a win, to be honest. That's a road game that I'm expecting us to go in there and win. I think that's something that, based off everything I've seen, so far, barring the Rocky game, which I'm kind of holding as an outlier because it seemed like some guys were maybe, what I'm hearing, some guys were sick and we did not play a lot of games. I thought it was unusual, our rotation for that game, but
yeah,
sounds like we just had some stuff going on at that point. But Idaho State is, we go to their place, they're 4-7. Based off their record and stuff, I expect us to win that game based off, common opponents as well as what I've seen. Then the final team of the conference is Sacramento State, and they are 3-8, and not much to say there, but that's all we'll spend on the bottom of the conference. But that's your early season kind of Big Sky look ahead, just on rosters and, teams to look out for. Portland State's kind of my team in the conference to look out for. I think expectations should be way higher for the Grizzlies. And then, Weber should, I'm confident saying, should win the conference, but you never know.
Give me a quick take on where you think Montana State's going to end up.
So not so much of a prediction or an expectation, but I think we are capable of being top four in the conference.
Oh, wow.
Really? I think we are capable of being top four in the conference is my thought. Not my expectation. What I would like to see, I think a good year for Cats fans, and you should be very happy, is if we make the semifinals of the Big Sky tournament, it's success. Even if we don't, I could still be happy with that, but I'd be over the moon if we make the semifinals of the Big Sky tournament.
I was going to lower my expectation a little bit and say if we win our first playoff game in the Big Sky, tournament.
I mean, yeah, yes, but I think we are capable. That's kind of not a prediction. We are, based off everything I've seen, we are capable of being a top four team in this conference, is what I'd say.
Because I don't know how long you've been a Bobcat fan, and we were like 0-4
yep
ever in the Big Sky tournament.
We did not win a lot of games.
No.
Did not win a lot of games till 2019, and then things started so turning around.
Ugh. You could have such a good season and then like just lose the first game. It was just like, oh, season's over. It was just almost a running joke
kind of for Bobcat like being basketball. A Bobcat football fan too.
Yep.
But again, my thought is when we had the year of the Bobcat thing in 2021, and you know, we had the success last year in both sports. Be patient. Be patient with the football team. Be patient with the basketball team. Things are changing. This is just how it is as a mid kind of powered team. But trust in this athletic department. Trust in these coaching staffs. I've been really impressed with how the football team's kind of turned things around. Shout out Bobby Daly. That's awesome. Super excited for that opportunity on that side of the house. Look at volleyball. I mean, things, you know, volleyball had kind of been nothing. And look at the turnaround that happened this year under a new coach, new regime.
So fun.
It was fun. I watched random Tuesday night volleyball games for the first time in my life. And it was a ton of fun. I was so sad and emotionally invested when we lost to Weber. And if you told me before the season that was going to happen, I was not willing to say that. So I was totally invested in that. And then, just have trust, have faith, follow along. And, you know, if you're not going to be a real Cats fan, I don't want to say that, but you got to be there during the tough times too, because it's going to be sweeter. It's just going to be sweeter. I mean, part of the things too, I grew up as a kid in Portland. I'm also a University of Washington Husky football fan. It was so hard being a kid in the early 2000s when we were terrible, going 0-12, and now we're 13-0 on that. And to, you know, think about that outside of the houses. It wouldn't have been as sweet now the past couple of years, and then the Peterson run and the 20 teens.
Yeah.
If you didn't have those struggle years where you were getting blown out by Oregon and losing Apple Cups to Washington State in bad fashion and those kind of things. So that's kind of my analogy on that, is hop on board, man. Come on to the Brick. It's a fun brand of basketball. Even the women's team. I mean, they just beat, you know, I didn't go tonight, unfortunately, but they just beat a 10-1 North Texas team tonight.
It's a good win.
So, I mean, on the women's side, they had I wrote their record down here. Give me 1 second to flip my paper. They were 4-6. Now they're 5-6. But they played BYU, Arizona State.
Yeah.
Teams you've heard, you know, not to say teams you've heard of, but big time Pac-12, Big 12, and kind of WCC and Mountain West teams. They've had a heck of a conference run run of teams they've played. And they haven't gotten blown out. I think their worst loss is 13 points, but they were competitive in all those games. So on the women's side, we'll focus more on them, and I'll come in with some more stuff with that, I promise, in the future. But the women's team is fun to watch. They are there, and they are going to be competitive in the Big Sky as well. I don't have expectations or something. I can't tell you that at the moment, but they're going to have a good year too, and they're going to be right there, I think.
Can't wait, man. I love the start of the conference season. I'm happy holidays are here. Christmas is here. But now, just talking with you tonight, man, I can't wait. I love this.
I'm so excited. I'm Roger Fisher. Be patient. We'll get more episodes out. Don't worry. I'm sure there'll be a fully Fisher fashion watch for Vegan. I liked his suit today. I don't want to spoil anything, but his signing day suit was kind of dapper. So looking forward to what you guys have on the football side and the recap. And hopefully you can put a bow on things. I'm very happy with, I'm personally really happy with where things came out on signing day, as well as some of the transfers we're bringing in. So,
Thorny and I are going to get on the mics and talk that out and just reflect on the football season coming up shortly. That was supposed to happen this week, just hasn't happened yet. But if you've been waiting for one of those episodes, it's coming. So we're happy to bring that to you. And, yeah, man, it's a good time to be a Bobcat. It sucks to see the Grizzlies going to the national championship, but you know, tip of the cap to them too, honestly, because after they lost to Northern Arizona, like if you would have said, "Hey, that team's making the national championship,"
No chance.
What are you smoking, man?
Yeah. Their fan base had no thought. They were calling their team soft. They were saying their guys didn't look like the teams of the early 2000s. No. They didn't have the look. None of those guys would have started. And either they took that personal or the coaching staff took that personal. But, you know, hats off to them. Hats off to that coaching staff. Yeah. They proved all the doubters wrong and they came back and they kicked butt. And so, not good to them, but, hats off to
them. It's impressive.
They're a heck of a football team.
Yeah. So
have you ever had a bad take, man? After the brawl, when I came on here when you guys had me on for the brawl episode, and I said, yeah, I think McDowell will get pulled if they go 3 and out the first two. And then he goes down the field and scores. And now I felt dumb after that take, but I'm like, hey, I mean, I said, if that happened and it didn't. So, but he's turned into a heck of a player and he's had a great playoff run for them. So we'll see what happens. I still think South Dakota State's the team there. I mean, when we played the Bison in the national championship, Bison were favored by 7, I think, South Dakota State's favored by 2 touchdowns, so almost double the points on that side.
The line's out already?
Yeah, the line's out. It came out pretty quickly, but they're now, I think South Dakota State's favored by 13.5 with the hook. So, quite a few more points, quite a different game, but what could have been with the season? I'm on to basketball season. Let's see this scrappy Logie team play.
Let's see
some awesome things on that. But anyway, man, we'll get out of here. I'll wish you a happy, happy holiday. And I'm sure we'll keep in touch with the text stream over the couple days. And I'm curious to see. I'm sure I'll have my questions in for the Cooley segment of what you guys talk about with the football team and going forward on the future episodes.
Sounds good.
Awesome, man. I'll get you out of here with a Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats, baby.